As we have been looking for messages in Isaiah about the coming Messiah to help us be ready for Christmas, we're in chapter 11 today. As unbelievable as it sounds, real world peace will happen. It will. Probably not in the way we would design. But there are days now it doesn't seem like it could happen. There are probably days when you just need somebody to remind you peace is coming because it feels like everything is falling apart. Maybe debt is mounting and your income is not adequate. Doesn't matter how many times you do the budget, there's not enough. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe your spouse has left you with a house full of kids and bills. Maybe you're suffering grief after the death of a loved one. And I know there are several of you here in that boat. It seems to be all around us lately. Maybe you've been strung out so long you do not remember what it's like to be sober. Maybe you're depressed and you really don't know why. Maybe illness is threatening you or a loved one right now. Maybe the condition of our nation has got you down. It could. Just watch the news for a little bit. Despite our wealth, Americans are some of the most ill and most depressed people in the world. Yet we do not face the desperation of the third world. Most of us really do not know hunger or poverty like many nations. And we love to hate our government. We love to complain about our government. I'm one of those. But we still count on our government for security. Our healthcare system is corrupt. Crazy corrupt. But we have one. We have health care. We know we have foreign enemies, but we really expect our military is able to repel them, keep them in their place. We're not expecting a military coup to take over the government. Things are pretty stable. Israel was not so fortunate in the days that Isaiah wrote this message. Not at all. National tragedy was looming. It was happening, even as he wrote these words. Crops were failing. Trade was threatened. Commerce was not sustainable. Their leadership was evil. Assyria was coming from the north. Babylon after them. And all of this was happening because many of the people in Israel had chased after foreign gods for generations, and God said, I've had enough. I'm going to have to restore this land to justice. And he was sending other nations as tools of judgment. Can you imagine hearing the message from God's prophet? Here's what's going to happen to your nation. A foreign enemy is coming. Everything is failing. You're going to be scattered to places you've never heard of. And here's the timeline. Here's when it's going to happen. It was that certain. That was the message that Isaiah delivered to Israel and Judah. And other prophets delivered those kinds of messages. Very sure demise of the country. It was certain. However, Isaiah and many of the other prophets also delivered messages of hope for the future. Mixed in this message of judgment was, there's hope. God has more plans than this. The song we sang a while ago said, he's just getting started. There is hope. And that's what we find in Isaiah chapter 11. You might remember at the end of chapter 6, there was this whisper of a hope that there was this mention of a stump and a shoot coming from the stump. In that chapter, God called Isaiah to this prophetic ministry, and he said, I want you to go preach for me, but people are not going to hear. They're not going to see. They're not going to understand. They're not going to get it. They're not going to respond to your message. But at the very end of that chapter, it says, the holy seed will be the stump in the land. A little glimmer of hope. And chapter 11 picks up on that message, the theme of a remnant being restored from the stump. After all the ruin and judgment, God will restore the nation through the family of Jesse. Now, Jesse was King David's father. So you could read in there, tribe of Judah would work as well. A shoot will come up from the stump. Imagine, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, this image, but just imagine a mountainside where once there was this lush green forest, but it's been harvested, and there's nothing there but gray stumps, rocks, gray, dead. But one stump has this little green shoot coming up. New life coming up from the stump. That's Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. Just like God's people in the days of Isaiah, 8 centuries before Christ, we need a perfect king. We need one who rules from righteousness and truth, not worried about how many votes they're getting. We need a king whose wisdom is infinitely better than our own. We need a king who is always in step with the Spirit of God. We need a king who judges by truth, not just by sight. We need a king who truly takes care of the poor and needy and does not just talk about it or pretend to do it. We, like ancient Israel, need a king whose word of truth defeats his enemies. His truth penetrates the darkness and the hardened hearts of the nations. His faithfulness and righteousness are always fresh, always new. What would happen if a king like that ruled the earth? How amazing would it be? How thoroughly would real peace change this world? Can you let your mind go there? It's hard to imagine. What would real peace be like? How would it affect us? Look at verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy. On all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. Do you understand what perfect peace would do to us? It would upset most of what we do. There would be no more competition for resources. There would be plenty for everybody. People would not rob and steal. There'd be no more murder. There'd be no need for banks. Sorry, Joel. There'll be no need for police or for military. Maybe there will be no weeds in the garden. Our children will be safe. There'll be no need for security systems or even fences. It's hard to imagine what this world would be like in perfect peace because we've never seen anything like it. Not even close. Because the world we live in is broken and marred by sin. That's what's wrong with the world. And until that problem is dealt with, we will not have this kind of peace. And I read this and I think, how is the Lord going to accomplish this? A wolf and lamb, a bear and a cow together, a child putting their hand into the snake's den and no harm. How will the Lord do all this? I don't know. But I trust in His infinite creativity to do it. Because He's the same God that created this world. It's His. He can do with it as He pleases. He is able. If He is not able to do what He says, He's not God. If the Messiah is not able to bring perfect peace, He's not the Son of God. And what we're doing here is a waste of time. Romans 8 reflects on this. Romans 8 in verse 18, it says, this is Paul, by the way. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Do you see the message of a future hope there? He understands. Today they're suffering. But there's something coming. I can't even compare it to our present suffering. He said, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. There is hope. As I said, I don't know how Jesus will bring this world back to to perfect peace. But we see something of His methods back there in Isaiah 11. It says His judgment is perfect. And it's not dependent on sight. He knows all actions. He knows all motives. And we saw that evidenced in the stories about Jesus dealing with people. He saw through them. He saw their methods. He knew what they were about. So He doesn't need physical evidence to make His judgment. His judgment is right and pure. He establishes righteousness. Right is right because God says it's right. Not because of the law of the land. It's right because God says it's right. His word of truth penetrates and destroys that which is evil. It says there in chapter 11, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Just as in the original creation, he spoke this world into being. He will speak judgment, which cleanses the earth and rids it of all evil. But how is that possible? It just seems beyond anything we can imagine. But the earth is his. John, the Apostle John, reminded us that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus, the Messiah, is fully God. He was present at creation, and he made this world perfectly. He is perfectly able to restore it. And he is that shoot coming, which has come up from the stump of Jesse, from the family of Jesse. His word is the rod of truth. His word is the tool of redemption. It's the rod of truth in that everything is measured against him. He establishes truth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The last book in the Bible, the Revelation, also from John, or given to John, contains warnings of judgment and messages of hope, much like Isaiah does. And the visions given to John describe the truth of Jesus. It says, in one place, it says, "Coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance." That's in chapter 1 of Revelation. In chapter 2, it says, "These words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword." He contains the truth. He is the truth. He speaks the truth. Chapter 19 of Revelation describes the Christ defeating all the corrupt nations of the world and establishing a peaceful reign on earth. And there again it says, "Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations." And it goes on to describe complete victory over all who are against him. Then we will know perfect peace. He's only getting started. Then we will know perfect peace. We have never experienced the perfect peace that Isaiah 11 describes. But it's coming. It's coming to us because a child is born. Unto us a child is given. Perfect peace is coming because from that barren stump of Jesse, the tribe of Judah, a new shoot came to life. And he brings life where there previously was no hope. That's the image of this chapter. It didn't happen in Isaiah's time. Jesus didn't even come for 700 plus years. And still, this kind of peace hasn't happened, has it? I haven't read about it. Certainly haven't experienced the kind of peace that this chapter describes. And there's another wonderful part of this image of the stump. Romans 11 describes our ingrafting into the stump. Us, Gentiles. The people that the folks of Israel said were dirty. Not of the kingdom of God. Romans 11 talks about how we're grafted into the stump. Because of the unfaithfulness of Israel, we Gentile believers have been grafted in. We're adopted into the kingdom. Kissimmee, a man who spoke to the youth last Sunday night, described so beautifully that process of slicing the trunk of the tree and putting a new branch and taping it up, and they grow together to make something better than there ever was before. That's the ingrafting. And we are grafted in with Israel. Paul's writing there compares us to wild olive branches being grafted into the cultivated olive tree. The wild ones being grafted in. God loves saving the wild ones, doesn't he? He does. And he also says that his own nation, the Jewish nation, will be regrafted back into the tree. A remnant of Israel who will follow Christ will be redeemed. Now, parts of Isaiah's prophecy came true in his own day. Some of the things he happened, especially about judgment, happened while he was still alive. Parts came true in the advent of Jesus. That's what this chapter is talking about. And the one we read last week in chapter 9 is talking about the coming Messiah. Even though Isaiah didn't name him, probably didn't know exactly how it would happen or when it would happen, that's what he was talking about. Plus years after he spoke this, Jesus was born to a poor family in Nazareth, from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. The travel was going so well, he was born in a livestock shelter. Parts of Isaiah's prophecy have yet to be completely fulfilled. What we read today has not happened yet, but it is nevertheless true. Peace is coming. And you may just have to say that out loud when the circumstances are surrounding you, when the grief is overcoming you. Peace is coming. The Messiah has been born, and he will return, and he will restore this world to its original state of peace. Rest for the nations is coming. A light has dawned and penetrates the darkness. That's the story of Christmas. It's not about the trinkets. A light has dawned. One has come who will eventually usher in peace. But there's work to be done. There's a battle raging in the heavenlies. And at the right time, he will bring an end to it. He will bring final judgment and restore peace. This is Isaiah's story of hope as he points us toward the Messiah. From what looks hopeless. And I know it feels that way sometimes. Sometimes it just feels hopeless. But from that barren landscape, from that dead-looking stump of Jesse, God has brought a redeeming new life. And that life is a light in the dark world. Because of his coming and because of his future return, we have the hope of peace. Peace is coming. Music team, would you come to lead us in some praise?